RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello, fellow listener. Welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you a program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. That was our program summary for today. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo affirms Taufik Kemas to have reconciled a lot of conflicts. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said decrease in economic growth target is realistic. Now the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo assessed that former chairman of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, the late Taufik Kemas, during his lifetime, was a figure who has reconciled a lot of conflicts between individuals and groups. This was expressed by President Joko Widodo in his speech to celebrate the 1000th anniversary of Taufik Kemas' death at the residence of former President Megawati Soekarno Putri in Jakarta on Wednesday. President Joko Widodo views that Taufik Kemas was always oriented to the four pillars of the nation, to the government officials and agencies. President Joko Widodo also expressed his sympathy by calling for the public to pray for the late Taufik Kemas. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that deflation of the target number in Indonesian economic growth is realistic and can happen in a weak economic condition as it is now. He further explained the decrease in economic growth targets caused by the decrease in infrastructure and trade exports. For that reason, import is also experiencing reduction, causing the industry to weaken. Vice President Yusuf Kalla also added that the market demand is lowering, which means taxes go down along with it. Automatically, development is not going as smoothly as Indonesia has planned. Head of Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board BKP and Pranky Sibarani has welcomed the intention to invest from a Taiwanese land manufacturer wishing to relocate his business to Indonesia. The intention to invest was expressed by Taiwanese investor to BKPM's representatives, the Indonesian Trade Economic Office, to Taipei, Taiwan on Wednesday. Frankie said that the business relocation to Indonesia will be carried out because the land on which the company's factory stood in China will be converted into a commercial area. The company has set its sight on Salatiga, Central Java, and Yogyakarta for the relocation. Central Java and Yogyakarta had been on the short list due to their cheap land price and relatively low wages compared to those of other regions in Java. Indonesian government continues to encourage efforts to finalize the ASEAN instrument on the protection and promotion of the rights of migrant workers. This instrument will be the basis for protecting the rights of migrant workers without discrimination. At the regional level, one of the alternatives to expedite the finalization of instrument is through organizing a conference involving all stakeholders. The Papua Provincial Government will host an international conference on biodiversity, ecotourism, and the creative economy in Papua from September 7 to September 10, 2016. Papua is well known as a haunt of the bird of paradise. Head of Papua Province Environmental Management Agency, Noat Kavisa, has said recently that the conference is aimed at evaluating the potential of biodiversity and ecotourism in Papua. In addition, the conference is also aimed at promoting ecosystem services and culture as an asset of ecotourism, as well as driving the creative economy based on biodiversity and ecotourism to support the welfare of indigenous people of Papua. NOAC also stated that through the conference, Papua will display its advantages in promoting a sustainable economy. The potential of biodiversity and ecosystem services in Papua is the basis for the development of increased prosperity for Papuan natives. The last item, a member of the Special Committee of the Draft Law on Combating Criminal Acts of Terrorism, Martin Hutabara, said that Indonesia must strengthen efforts to the radicalization to prevent the expansion of radicalization movement and terrorism in Indonesia. He remarked this at the public hearing Special Committee of Terrorism Criminal Acts in Jakarta on Wednesday. He also pointed out that effort to suppress terrorism cannot rely only on eradication means, but it should also impart all parties to prevent it. I think one of the important efforts is the radicalization to prevent the potential terrorists to be the real terrorists. I can see that we cannot prevent them only by law enforcement, so there should be involvement of all parties. Hopefully, Indonesia, as the biggest Muslim country, does not become the terrorist basis, but a peaceful place. Furthermore, Martin Hutabara said that the revision report of the terrorism criminal act in Indonesia is aimed at increasing the authority of law enforcers in dealing with terrorism. Nevertheless, he added that the revision of terrorism criminal act should be conducted more humanely because Indonesia is a country based on Pancasila. That's news over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled Simplifying Food Distribution Chains. The increase in food prices ahead of Ramadan in Indonesia always happens annually. This is very burdensome to the general public. The government has been trying to lower the food prices over a few weeks. One way is to open imports for some commodities such as beef, sugar, and onion. By doing so, it is expected that rising food prices could return to normal. In addition, the government also has to add the supply of some food commodities. However, despite some steps had been taken, the rise in food prices still ongoing. Seeing this phenomenon, the government finally admitted that there are anomalies in the trade of food commodities. The government stated that the quantity of commodity supply is a lot, but the prices are still higher. Indonesian Agriculture Minister Andi Amran Sulaiman stated that food stock in June is enough. Take, for example, in June, the supply of cooking oil reaches around 1.8 million tons, with estimated demand for 555,000 tons. Chicken supply is 256,000 tons, with estimated demand 112,000 tons. Such commodities are available more than double compared to the demands. The government has asked the Chief of Indonesian Police to investigate the food supply chain. This issue must be immediately addressed. Chairman of the Committee on National Economy and Industry, Sutrisno Bashir, said that the government should reduce the food distribution chain. Meanwhile, Chairman of the Business Competition Supervisory Commission, KPPU, Sarkawi Rauf, stated that his side views the issue of long distribution chain can potentially cause food mafia practices. This problem can pose conspiracy and cartel practices in Indonesia as well as make the public trouble due to the price hike of basic necessities in the market. He took, for example, the price of cooking oil commodity is not suitable with normal market price. He was watching the price of cooking oil in factory at which declined around 5.5%, but there are anomalies. When it is sold at the market, the price is increasing. This means that the problem depends on the distribution change. Sarkawi feels that there must be an immediate simplification of food distribution chain. This is very important and strategic issue. In addition, monitoring food production in factories is also necessary to prevent unfair practices. The supervision of staples to avoid speculation, especially ahead of Ramadan and Eid al-Fitr, should also be carried out regularly. To shorten the distribution channel and to provide access to affordable prices for the public, the government and private parties can conduct market operations and low-price food bazaar massively. The move is expected to shorten the supply chain and establish a new market structure. Thus, farmers can enjoy better earnings of their crops, traders can obtain normal advantage, and the general public are not worried about the price hike of any staples. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again. I'm Hirmana Rahmana in our regular program Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, listener, we start from an event on June 9th, 1905, when Albert Einstein published the theory of quantum physics. Albert Einstein was a German-born theoretical physicist. He developed general theory of relativity, one of the two pillars of modern physics, alongside quantum mechanics. Einstein's work is also known for his influence on philosophy of science. He is best known in popular culture for his mass energy equivalence formula E=mc, which has been dubbed the world's most famous equation. He received the 1921 Nobel Prize in Physics for his services to theoretical physics, in particular his discovery of the law of the photoelectric effect, a pivotal step in evolution of quantum theory. To appraise him, a unit in the photochemical was named Einstein, a chemical element was named Einsteinium, and an asteroid was named 2001 Einstein. The next event was in 2004 when Hussein Mutahar died. Hussein Mutahar, well-known age. Mutahar is an Indonesian composer, especially for nation and kids songs. His popular song is Hind Syukur, which was introduced in January 1945 and marks Hari Merdeka in 1946. His last word, Dirgahayu Indonesiaku, becomes the official song of the 50th, the independence of Indonesia. Mutahar was active in scouting. He was one of the main figures of Indonesian Scout, Independent Scout Movement, which is a nationalist. He was also known as an anti-communist when all Scouting movement was smelted to be Scout movement. Mutahar also became a figure. His name was also associated in establishing and fostering national flag forces, a team of students from various parts of Indonesia who hoisted the flag on Independence Day commemoration ceremony at the presidential palace. Mutahar died on 9th of June 2004 in the age of 88 years old. And the last event was in 1992 when general election in Indonesia was held. Indonesian 6th legislative election and the fifth under the new order regime was held on June 9, 1992. Although the share of the vote won by Golkar declined and the two parties saw their votes rise, the government organization still won a clear majority. The election of the House of Representatives DPR and Regional Representative Council DPRD held simultaneously on June 9, 1992 to elect members of DPR and DPRD at level 1 of province and DPRD level 2 of regency or municipality in Indonesia at the period 1992-1997. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus. Daily news and events.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again in our regular program Focus. The theme of today's focus is ASEAN Economic Community, the fruit competition of Indonesian architects. The implementation of ASEAN Economic Community AC is the gateway for Indonesian architects to develop its potential abroad, especially in Southeast Asia. This was stated by an Indonesian architect, Lim Handy, in Jakarta on last Thursday at the press conference related to the plan of exhibition architect, Architect 16 in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. He pointed out that if compared to Malaysia, Indonesian quality of the architect is good, even it may be better. He also affirmed that the excellence of Malaysian architects is due to the first appearance at ASEAN markets and outside ASEAN. This is possible due to their ability to use English. The Malaysian architects are accustomed to using English, so they do not hesitate to meet clients of foreign nationalists. While Indonesian architects tend to be shy,
Handy added that fortunately now the architects of Indonesia are ready to compete with foreign architects, including Malaysia. Indonesia will participate in the exhibition Architecture, Interior Design and Building Industry, namely Architedex 16, to take place at Kuala Lumpur Convention Center, Malaysia on 20th to July 23rd, 2016. According to the plan, the Architedex 16 will be attended by 15,000 participants consisting of professionals in the building industry, such as architecture, interior designers, urban planners, property developers, to manufacturers of industrial buildings. Meanwhile, more than 500 companies with 1,200 exhibition booths will enliven the exhibition. The countries participating in this exhibition are Indonesia, China, Belgium, Germany, Hong Kong, Japan, Malaysia, Switzerland, Taiwan, Thailand, Vietnam, and the United States. Handy Lim also said the Association of Indonesian Architects, IAI, is fighting for ratification of law architects. With this bill, the architect in Indonesia will be better protected, because one of the points of the law says that if there are foreign architects who want to get into Indonesia, they should cooperate with local architects. Thus, the foreign architects are not easy to bring their staff to Indonesia. Handy Lim also said that in addition to existing regulations, the design also may be different from Indonesia and other countries affected by the weather or tropical climate. Although the work of the foreign architects is considered good, the market will be decisive. He added that now the development of industrial architecture, particularly in the field of design and construction of buildings, start appearing in some regions across Indonesia. The construction of tall buildings or skyscrapers is more commonly built in Jakarta and its surroundings, but now the construction can also be found in cities outside Java. The types of buildings that have appeared in some regions include hotels, offices, and apartments. Lim Handy added, the rising demand of construction in some regions is due to Indonesia's growing population. The market in this industry is quite promising compared to other countries in Southeast Asia. Even if compared with Malaysia and Singapore, the Indonesian market is still greater. It also makes foreign artists come to Indonesia to study the architecture of the building. Bangladesh and India, for example, come to Indonesia by using large buses. Listener, that was Focus Today, read by Rahmana.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Indonesian President Joko Widodo assessed that former chairman of the Indonesian People's Consultative Assembly, the late Topi Kemas, during his lifetime was a figure who has reconciled a lot of conflicts between individuals and groups. Vice President Yusuf Kalla said that the deflation of target number in Indonesian economic growth is realistic and can happen in weak economic condition as it is to now. He further explained that the decrease in economic growth target is caused by a decrease in infrastructure and trade exports. Head of Indonesian Investment Coordinating Board BKPN Prangki Sibarani has welcomed the intention to invest from Taiwanese land manufacturer wishing to relocate his business to Indonesia. Indonesian government continues to encourage efforts to finalize the ASEAN instrument on the protection and promotion of the rights of migrant workers. This instrument will be the basis for protecting the rights of migrant workers without discrimination. The Papua Provincial Government will host an international conference on biodiversity, ecotourism, and the creative economy in Papua from September 7 to 10, 2016. Papua is well known as the Who Not Bird of Paradise. Head of Papua Province Environmental Management Agency, Nuat Gavisa, has said recently that the conference is aimed at evaluating potential of diversity and ecotourism in Papua. A member of the Special Committee of the Draft Law on Combating Criminal Acts of Terrorism, Martin Hutabara, said that Indonesia must strengthen efforts of the radicalization to prevent the expansion of radicalization movement and terrorism in Indonesia. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Radio Republic of Indonesia's World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Presenting actual news, all Indonesian songs, current issues, and entertainment. Broadcasting daily from the fourth floor of RRS Building on Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat number 4 and 5, Jakarta.
Listen live to www.voi.co.id.
You're still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, broadcasting to the frequencies of 95.25 kHz, 11.785 kHz, and 15.150 kHz. You can also listen through our audio streaming at www.voi.co.id. Here is our next program, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listener, it is a great pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Bengkulu Province. Stay tuned. Listener, various traditions carried out by the Indonesian community to welcome the month of Ramadan. One of these traditions called Tarawah Uma Surau Masok Poso, committed by community in Pondok Sugu Village, Mukomuko Regency, Bengkulu. On last Sunday, hundreds of local residents walking orderly to the mosque. On the way to the mosque, the mothers and fathers carrying a basket, side dishes, and a wide range of foods. Once arrived at the mosque, pastries and some menu of foods brought by residents are put in a place. After praying together, then the people eat the food dishes together. Listener, in the local language, Tarawah Uma Surau Masok Poso means prayer in the mosque before fasting. In this tradition, hundreds of people voluntarily and joyfully bring the foods to the mosque. The food and cake are also not specified. It is adjusted to the capability of each resident. In this tradition, the element of unity becomes an important point. In addition, all the people greetings and giving forgiveness each other, so they can fasting and worship during Ramadan piously. Listener, when eating together, every people will be given the foods by using rantang or hamper that has been prepared by mothers. The rantang should be returned to its owner after eating together. Before performing Tarawah Uma Surau Masok Poso tradition, people must firstly conduct gotong royong or mutual help to clean the mosque and prepare all the needs during Ramadan and preparation for Tarawih prayer. The community also formed a special committee that will set the schedule for Tadarus, Tarawih prayer, and giving takjil or menu for break the fast voluntarily. Listeners, before performing Tarawah Uma Surau Masok Poso tradition, the Pondok Sugu Village, Mukomuko Regency, Bengkulu, held Balimo tradition, which is also a series of traditional events to welcome the month of Ramadan. This tradition is usually carried out 3 days before entering the month of Ramadan at the Air Manjuto Dam River. Residents gather at the river and bathing by using citrus and flowers. It is aimed to purify themselves inwardly and outwardly so they can perform the worship well. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Tarawah Uma Surau Masok Poso. We will see you again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, welcome back to our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we will inform you about Jakarta's Great Sale Festival 2016. For those of you who love shopping, this is the time to satisfy your passion to shop in Jakarta. Because on June 3rd until July 7th, Jakarta Great Sale Festival comes back. This festival is held in conjunction with the 489th Jakarta's anniversary. The festival is also hoped to draw domestic and foreign tourists to visit Jakarta. This year, the festival theme, Shop More, Less Plastic, so people are invited to conserve environment and to run the Pay Plastic Bag program. Many traditional markets also participate in this year's Jakarta's Great Sale Festival. They are Gondang Dia, Johar Baru, Glodok, UPB Tomang, Pengemben, Pamerah, Jatinegara, Romnas Klender, Kramat Jati, and Cibubur. These traditional markets will sell basic needs with lower prices. People are hopefully purchase their basic needs in the traditional markets that participate in these events. Of course, with lower price than the average traditional market. Seventy shopping centers in Jakarta will also participate in the Jakarta Great Sale Festival by giving 70% discount, shopping reward program, point reward, and other interesting promos. 23 shopping centers were also held a midnight sale with very attractive offers. The midnight sale is held on Saturday and Sunday. This promo hopefully gives benefits to the people through the discount shopping program that are offered during this event. As many years before, people shopping volume transaction during Ramadan until Eid al-Fitri significantly increased. This year, the transaction is targeted at 15.74 trillion rupiah transaction, or increased to 8% from last year's transaction of 14.58 trillion rupiah. Well, listener, that was today's edition of Miscellany that informs you about Jakarta Great Sale Festival 2016. I'm Nuka Kuswati. We meet again with another interesting topic. Sampai jumpa.
Meet again tomorrow with another Miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce you to an Indonesian pop singer, Rin Jamain. Well, listener, let's listen to the first song entitled Citra by Rin Jamain. Happy listening.
Senyum itu ku rindu pada di kau kekasih seorang.
waktu menggoda menanti saatnya bertemu. Hitam merah membara, hati putih berbunga di kau duduk tersenyum di situ. Senyuman mesra, angguk perlahan kau teduhkan.
Listener Rin Jamain, who has a color of vocal different from other Indonesian pop singers in the country, with her characteristic voice, the singer is suitable to sing pop jazz songs. So, Rin Jamain focused herself to sing jazz songs. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Maafkan Daku. Happy listening.
Senyum itu ku rindu pada di kau kekasih seorang. Rindu ku tekan, waktu menggoda menanti saatnya bertemu. Hitam merah membara, hati putih berbunga di kau duduk tersenyum di situ. Kau teduhkan hati nanti.
If we consider all Rinjamain songs, obviously the song is created with jazz musicality. So, Rinjamain called as an Indonesian jazz pop singer. Ireng Maulana, an Indonesian jazz musician, is not separated with Rinjamain's popularity. In every recording of her albums, was supervised by Ireng Maulana. It was admitted, although the songs of Rinjamain nicely to be enjoyed, the songs still have not universal market segment in the country. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Kesepian and Kucoba Lagi by Rinjamain. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
Langit yang biru cemerlang tertutup awan yang kelabu. Tiada sinar yang terang membuat cerah di hatiku. Ku yang
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Dalam bercinta, aku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.